from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pot Brad, with me, Eric Wiltshire, and Rachel Brunsdon. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. It's the lovely duo. I've been doing duos with you guys in one form or another, and I mean that the nicest possible way.
That was very brave of you just now. Yeah, well, you wanted to cough and you just drove through it.
I did. I drove through because I'm a professional.
She's so cool. That's just rude everything, isn't it? I'm good at this. Anyway, another reason why we're trying now to encourage Mr. Banks to leave Australia and go back to the UK, because I don't care, because I don't live there, and Australia just wants to get rid of him. So here you go, Lee. Prices of petrol and diesel are dropping.
You'll be able to fill the Bentley without going broke.
That's what it is.
It won't be a load of rubbish.
Well, he's been whinging on about the price of petrol for so long, or benzene as we call it. And they actually reckon that it's now at its lowest price in 3 years. Funnily enough, up in Yorkshire and Humberside, which is not far away from him anyway, because it's north of London, the average price per litre was 129.46. So what's that in funny money?
That's a lot in funny money. Somebody was telling me how much it was, because ours is $1.72 a litre right now, and I think it works out to be about $2 something or other stupid.
Yeah,
a litre. It's really expensive. It's way more expensive than what we're paying.
And I don't know, because I don't have an English electricity bill for obvious reasons. But what are your utility bills like?
Well, we just got a bill for the quarter, which was $1,100. Our power and water, which is completely ironic, because it can't seem to stay on here in Darwin. But it's one of the most expensive utilities in Australia, actually. And there's no competition here in Darwin. It is the one and only utility where you can get your power and water. Well, it was $1,100 Australian for the last 3 months. Well, we moved in October.
All right.
So... No, I'm lying. We moved in December.
That's
so
right,
it's
indeed,
basically
yes.
3 months. 3 months' worth was $1,100, but we are running air conditioners a lot.
They eat electricity.
They chew the juice. They chew it. Although we don't run them when there's nobody home, and we don't run them all the time if the weather's not so bad. But we moved here in the wet season when it's diabolical, so you run it a lot, but generally a ceiling fan will do the trick in the dry season.
Would you like a top tip?
Please. I love your top tips, especially those that are money savers.
This is a money saver. This is a money saver. Because above the building, there are two big external aircon thingies, you know, the fanny things and all that sort of stuff. And in this building, it used to cost us... in the summer, round about €250 a month for electricity, which is a lot of money here. It's an extraordinary amount of money. And I looked at it once. Well, actually, something went wrong with one of the external things one day. So there was a bit of a flap on. And I thought, what the hell can I do? I've got to keep all the computers in the racks room, which is a closed, sealed kind of unit.
Yeah, that's like going into space. You need to have that sealed and air conditioned and temperature,
yes,
ambient temperature just right and all that sort of stuff.
So are you ready?
Please.
I spent €6. €6.
And I don't know if I can run a cable from my house to the next house. I'm trying to figure it out.
No, and what I created was what they call an airflow system. So we sucked cold in from the bottom.
Yeah.
Because the bottom, but down by the ground, it's always cold anyway.
Right.
So you get cold air from the bottom, which you blow in. You have another fan going out from the top, which blows the hot air out. So you get cold in, hot out, cold in, hot out, right? Now, these two things, devices, don't use as much as a 40-watt light bulb. So I bought two more of them.
Ah.
And I put them in the studio area, which is the other place that generates so much heat. And do you know what? The whole building cooled.
What?
The whole building cooled down. We don't have aircon anywhere, not even in the middle of summer.
I love that. That's brilliant.
And it costs nothing to run. So who needs aircon? Anyway, another top tip. This is not mine. This is from the AA that say, if you want to cut your fuel costs down, well, that means I can't get in the car. Remove any unnecessary weight from your car.
Yeah, that's an oldie but a goodie. We have that problem too because Rob likes to purchase really revolting food and drinks and leaves all the rubbish in the car but throws it in the back seat. So I end up with, 25 kilos of refuse in the back of the car and it really weighs down the car and then you're basically doing a tow.
No. It's environmentally friendly is what he's being.
Don't stick up for him. He's not here.
No, but I have to because I what you find in Slovakia is it's so tidy compared to the UK. And that's not knocking the UK. It's just that people do not throw wrappers out the window when they're driving down the road. You know, they keep everything and put it in the rubbish. Now,
well, that's the thing. If he would, get home and then, the wheelie bin is right there where we parked the car. He could just flip the wheelie bin, open the door, empty the rubbish in there. No, I've got to drive it around for, however long. So I end up doing it.
I understand that because, you see, when it's like wrappers from things and Siggy packets and all those naughty things, I just reach round with my left arm behind my seat, drop it in the footwell where nobody ever sits normally, and it kind of accumulates.
He does it in the passenger seat well, so that when I want to get in the passenger seat when he's in the driver's seat, I can't unless I want to stand on 10 ton of rubbish. Or he just tosses it over his left shoulder behind him, so it ends up somewhere back there.
Well, you see, Rob, this is my top tip for you. What you need is a PA alongside your lady, because then your lady gets upset, rants to your PA, they then rant together in stereo, they then take your car keys from you and they go with a rubbish bag and they empty it all out for you.
I do. He does it in his own car and I don't touch that car because that's a work vehicle.
Yep.
When he does it in mine, it gets annoying, so I empty it because it's mine.
Ah, okay. Anyway, the other top tip for keeping your car going cheaper on the old petrol, drive for consumption, not speed. Yes. Avoid sudden braking. Well, that's all right. Just don't slow down when you're going around corners. Or acceleration. No, that doesn't work. And maintain your car. Well, that's definitely a must. Definitely a must.
Well, we get our serviced all the time. Oh, we just had a service recently, actually, and everything was super duper with our car. Mind you, it's very new, so it should be super duper. We do need a couple of new tyres, though, so that's a bit of a drag.
Well, I think my car is 5 years old in June. And it's done 33,000 kilometres.
Really? Ours is 2.5 years old.
Yeah.
And it's done 45,000 kilometres. But we've got a really large country that we, for some reason or another, keep driving
across. No. See, when I want to go to Bratislava, I nick Martina's car because that's posh and I go in that.
Oh, see, so we relocate our home and our life, and we have to take the car with us.
Anyway, I'm tentatively avoiding the next subject, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, because it annoys me when people do stuff on the international scene, trying to make themselves look good. And I've never yet once found a politician who actually is doing it because they really care in the fashion that they should be doing. And if they do it in that fashion, they don't need to go on the telly and talk about it. They should just enable it to happen. That's my logic. So anyway, Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott is now on the television around the world showing off that they think they found some stuff, they've got some images, they're sending this, they're doing that, they're facilitating this. Apparently the... place in Australia where they've seen this debris is one of the most inaccessible spots on the Earth. Well, I wouldn't say that. I'd have thought the poles were, but there you go.
Yeah.
And he was speaking at a news conference, not in Australia.
No.
In Papua New Guinea.
The man's a buffoon, and I've made no secret of this in previous shows. He's a wing nut. He's a crazy right winger. He's an absolute maniac, and he's just so wrong, because he needs to shush, because he really shouldn't be getting involved in this stuff when he really doesn't know what he's talking about. And it has been proven by several experts today that where he is alleging that this has, you know, this debris is, there's no way that that plane would have made it that far. No way that that plane would have made it that far. Based on the petrol that they will, the gas that they had left and the course that they were on, there's no way they would have made it that far, and that debris may have floated there, but not likely the way the currents were and the tides were. There are a bunch of guys on the radio I heard today talking about this, but he needs to just shh. He's ingratiating himself and inserting himself into these situations so that he can get his head in the international media, and yet he's not addressing a billion things that he needs to be addressing at home about how, oh, gee, I don't know, their border protection stuff with their turning boats around and rejecting asylum seekers is failing miserably, and how there's a whole bunch of other things that are really, you know, coming crashing down around his ears. He's also, well, on a rant, he's still behaving like an opposition leader. He's not behaving like a prime minister. He's still just, you know, arguing with everybody he can possibly get his face in front of.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's pulling stunts like this. He needs to go back to Canberra, do his job, and shush.
And can I just say, Tony, because I don't have any of this Bosch stuff about me, well, I'll tell you what you remind me of, Tony. You remind me of the bloke in the bar who's going, oh, jolly what, I gave £50 to charity today, you know. I'll have a double scotch on the house, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're reminding me of. Yes.
That's him. He's really just not a great leader. And people say, oh, well, you know, you voted him in, and that's not the case. We didn't vote him in. We turned our back on a certain party because it was a mess. They were infighting, and they couldn't decide on who was going to be prime minister and everything else, and it was falling to bits. So we voted for a candidate in our area that appeared to have the head screwed on properly, and that's how he came to be the Prime Minister. We didn't vote him in.
So was his total vote less than the majority?
I think so, yeah. I know he won his seat, and then, of course, it was a landslide victory for that party, but he didn't win it. It was the individual candidates and the independents who won it.
Mm.
And because the Labor Party, because these guys are the Liberal Party that are in power now, the Labor Party were just in such a scrambly mess, and the infighting and the bickering and the, you know, the Gillard, you know, Rudd changing a prime ministership for every 5 minutes, it really turned people off.
Of course it will. And
people just didn't vote for them. So, you know, it was only going to, you know, it was only going to occur.
Do you know, I've got a thought. I've got a thought.
What?
I've got a thought.
What?
Well, in the UK, there's a thing called Ofcom that regulates broadcasters. And if you say something that's wrong, you can get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the equivalent in Australia? The regulator.
It's the ACCC and there's a codes of practice body as well. Yeah.
So why isn't there one for politicians?
Because they don't have an off button, and they don't. They should come with a beeper and a muter and a thing that takes them to a test pattern. And, you know, we are currently experiencing technical difficulties listening to this groovy music. Well, they need to come with that.
Right. Okay. One of those. They need a rather large cough button. Anyway, to prove my point, ladies and gentlemen, no, probably gentlemen, that these girls around the world are very clever ladies.
Uh-huh.
These girls are incredibly clever. They are very, very manipulative at times with the money.
Uh-huh.
because a 100-year-old woman who spent decades begging on the streets of Jeddah, which is in the Middle East, has mm-hmm. died, leaving behind a fortune of gold coins, jewels, and a real estate portfolio.
I love this woman. She's so savvy.
Apparently, Aisha used to beg on the streets all the day, and this was written up in the Saudi Gazette. Thank you, gentlemen. apparently, several families live in Aisha's properties. Yes, but she never charged them rent for it.
No, I love that, and because it's kind of giving back.
That's philanthropists gone bonkers.
It really is. It's like, I'm going to go begging in the street, and then I'm going to buy an enormous house with the money that I get from being in the street, which would have taken a little while to accumulate. I mean, the woman's 100 years old. But she's then bought a house and said, I live rent-free. And yeah. I know I've got lots of money squirreled away, lots of coinage squirreled away. And she's the one that needs one of those little, you know, well, she doesn't anymore.
No.
She needs one of those little, you know, money bank. Electronic
doodads. She had
a warehouse full of them.
Yeah. But she got half £1 million in the bank as well. Just from begging on the street. Unbelievable.
I want to know where she begs, because I'm going there. I reckon I can, if I dress, you know, like part of the cast of Annie, I reckon I can get sorted pretty quick. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Listen, I think for what you were doing, Aisha, good luck to you, lady. I hope you're very, very happy wherever you are now. This is really funny because there was a great program on the television years ago called Only Fools and Horses. And it was about some guys in the east of London, for those that don't know about it. And they had Trotters International Trading Company. Which lived out the back of a three-wheeler car. Right, which was always into doing dodgy deals with stuff. And one of the catchphrases of the main stars is, we'll beat millionaires next year, Rodders! And this bloke's actually done it!
Yay!
This bloke has actually done it. He's unearthed a rare gem at a market, which could be worth millions. This is a guy in the US. Who's a scrap metal dealer, yeah, and he's not going to be named, I don't blame him. He paid 13,000 US, that's about £8,000, for this little tiny eggy thing, which apparently was given to Alexander III to his wife in 1887.
Wow.
Now, this egg is... Well, it's going to be auctioned. It was last...
Was it a Fabergé egg?
It's part of the Fabergé community, yeah, of eggs.
Right, yeah.
So it's going to be worth millions and millions and millions. There's an estimate of over $33 million on this egg that he paid $13,000 for. Mm-hmm. The last time it was ever seen in public was 1902 at an exhibition in the old St. Petersburg. And everybody thought it had been scrapped for some bizarre reason. Mm-hmm. But now it's turned up in America. How? Nobody knows. But because of the whole load of things that have gone through, it's his. He bought it legitimately. So he can legitimately sell it. And apparently it was the third imperial Fabergé Easter egg made for the royals in Russia all those years ago.
They're just gorgeous. All of those eggs are just the most beautiful works of art that you've ever seen. And I love this thing. It's just been, you know, unearthed after all this time.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's just, and good on him. You know, good on him for finding that. And, you know, he's probably a hardworking guy. And you don't make loads of money, you know, scrap meddling and whatnot. But good on him.
Oh, no, I love those programs. What's the one on the BBC? Bargain Hunt. I love that.
There's lots of really great ones. People don't even know what they got their hands on, and Antique Roadshow and stuff like that.
Yes.
They don't know what they've got their hands on, and they take it along thinking maybe it'll be worth, you know, a couple of hundred maybe, and it turns out to be worth, you know, 25 grand, and you watch them, you know, pass out and vomit. And over. It's brilliant.
I love them. Now, what's the other two I like? One is called The Salvager, which is a really bizarre-looking, eccentric Londoner with the most weird sideburns and moustache, and he makes amazing furniture out of scrap. He's absolutely lovely. And then there is The Salvagers, which is this guy and his team that go out in a van every day of the week buying junk and doing stuff with it so quickly, and you go, my God. And then it's
amazing.
It goes from like $90 up to $300 with 1 hour's work or something. But I love all those shows, love them. And the joke about the trotters has been running around everywhere on Twitter and everywhere because a gentleman called Neil Trotter, not of the Only Fools and Horses fame, has won himself £107.9 million.
I love this. You just happened upon it, and it was brilliant. This is another one of those happened upon it stories.
Yeah.
I love these.
He bought a lucky dip, and he said to his girlfriend, because his wife comes up, his ex-partner comes up in a minute, that he was going to win it. You know, a bit like the old Rodney Trotter and Del Boy Trotter did in the TV program. And she kind of laughed, and he said, no. He said, I've always thought I was going to have a big win, and I just had a good feeling about it this week. And bingo! He checked the numbers, and they were all his. So he says to his partner, I've done it. I've won the lottery. So she told me to shut up and stop being an idiot.
Perfect. That was an automatic go-to response.
And the beauty was, his former partner heard about this, And just SMS'd him saying it could only happen to you, Trotter. She was currently away in Mexico getting married. I bet she's sick now, isn't she?
Yeah, should have stayed with the Trotsky.
Yes, well, anyway, I'm not so sure that it's going to last that much longer than money because he's already decided he's going to be following the British Touring Car Championship. If he buys a car to do that, that's going to eat £1 million in a year. Seriously. And he seems to be buying sports cars and other stuff at the minute.
You know, it's funny about these lotto wins, especially from people who don't come from a lot of money or who aren't money savvy with investment and so forth. They win these humongous amounts of money and they burn it really quickly, and they don't invest it. They don't do anything with it. They just sort of go and buy things that they've always wanted, and then they end up broke. And quite often you hear interviews about people who won the lottery, you know, a long time ago, particularly if it's one of those stories of – there was a story in the United States recently about a guy who was really down on his luck and happened to win come into a lot of money. And then he was murdered. Oof. And he was terrible, but when he was murdered, he was broke and he was destitute again, and they it slips through their fingers. They really don't know how to hold on to it. And then you hear interviews about people who say winning the lottery was the worst thing that ever happened to them.
Well, Martina said to me, so what would be the first thing you did if it happened to you? And I said, truthfully, because she was thinking present. Mm-hmm. And I said, nope, I would phone up my chairman and I would tell him I've won the lottery. Mm-hmm. She said, what are you doing that for? I said, because I'd want to be honest with him, because I trust him. We have a very open trust relationship. And I would tell him so that he knows that when I buy a posh car, I'm not ripping him off.
Yeah.
And I'd still want to work for him, maybe not quite so many hours, but I'd still want to work for him because I wouldn't want anybody to know.
No, and I wouldn't either. The first thing I'd do, the very first thing I'd do is go to a financial advisor and take out a will.
Yeah, all right, okay, I'll buy that. But other than that, that's probably nothing else I would do. Anyway, so this bloke... who's about to go green all over London. But I think the Londoners are going to go red mist, red mist, red mist, red mist, red mist. Why? Because a gentleman, and his origin will remain nameless for a moment, has got permission to introduce 3,000 electric hire cars in London.
Like the bikes?
Like the bikes.
Did the bikes work in London?
Well, they sort of did. Sort of did.
So they got the bikes in Melbourne, yeah. And I think they might have the bikes in Sydney. And they didn't work great.
Well, anyway, you know how electric cars go, don't you? Very slowly.
It's like the Flintstones, but yes. You know, without the feet hanging out the bottom.
Vincent Ballour is a Frenchman. And the Frenchman's about to slow down the capital of the UK. Thank you very much, Vincent.
That's a brilliant idea, Vincent. He fell out of a tree, didn't he?
He did indeed.
He hit his head with every branch and he fell out of a tree, bless.
I'm determined to do this story before we finish. And we are going to do it. I do adore Pharrell Williams' track Happy. I love it to bits.
I love it too.
It is wonderful. It's brilliant. It is just awesome. And 2 days ago, genuinely 2 days ago, there was a... it was Martina that found it. Happy, we are from High Tatras, Slovakia. And I watched this video and I just went to her, that's genius. I love it. I'm going to splatter it everywhere.
And I did, yes.
You
splattered it all over. You splattered more than Jackson Pollock. You were brilliant with the splatter.
And funnily enough, 2 days after it was released, then the television company found out about it, which was a bit late, but never mind. First 2 days of being launched, it's amassed 350,000 hits on YouTube in 2 days. Then my friend from Ireland says, oh, we've got one of those in Galway, which was launched in February, and only has 162,000 hits. So think about it. And this is a phenomenon that's going all the way around the world at the minute. There's people all over the world doing it. And so the High Tatras from Slovakia, which is a really tiny little place, there's not loads of us, has got 350,000 viewers in a couple of days. Okay.
Brilliant.
Happy, we are from Paris, 32,000.
Well, clearly they're not, because I saw a picture of Paris on Facebook today and it's very smoggy, so you probably can't tell if people are happy.
No. So what happened to Sydney with 325,000 then?
I think they've run out of happy. They're really running low. They had a lot of happy over New Year, and I think they're just spent.
Well, so are we, actually, as it goes. The time's run out. Say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Eric. I'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.